Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, welcome back. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way, whether it's routine maintenance or whether it's something that's far more difficult. They can handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I'm very pleased to be joined by Bob Pockris as we talk about NASCAR getting back into high gear with the Daytona 500. Bob, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be here. Looking forward to a great weekend with the Daytona 500 on Fox on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it should be terrific, obviously. When you get to the start of a new season, vehicles, rules, things like that, does that make for a little bit of mystery even on your part as much as you know about the sport because it is the first real time out?
Absolutely. Not just because they haven't been raced in a few months except for a little bit at the Clash, but you talk about drivers working with new crew chiefs, drivers working with new spotters, the people who stand on the roof of the suites helping guide them through the race. You know, that type of chemistry between a driver and a spotter often takes time, and many of them have new ones for this race on Sunday. And then many of the cars have changed a little bit of the design of the nose of their car, and so they don't know exactly how it's going to race. They might learn a little in the duels tonight, but really they're going to do most of their learning during the first 175 laps of the Daytona 500 and hope to put what they learned into practice for those last 25 laps.
You've got Joe Logano and McDowell. They're in the front row for the 500. Now, it's qualifying, but what did you see from their cars and also how they handled the qualifying part?
I saw their cars being fast and maybe a little bit of a surprise because Hendrick-powered engines and Chevrolets have won the last 9 poles for the Daytona 500, but they certainly look good. They, even though they run for 2 different teams, those teams have an alliance, and it looks like they found something to be good when they're out there by themselves, but they really won't know how strong their cars are until tonight at the duels when they're racing in a pack.
How interested are you in the marriage between crew chief and driver of the new ones? Which ones, like, do you want to see if they click right away or not?
I think the most intriguing one is Josh Berry, a rookie who replaced Kevin Harvick, working with a veteran crew chief in Rodney Childers, who was Harvick's crew chief, who has won many, many, many races. Childers is known as one of the smartest crew chiefs in the garage, and he was a former driver himself, a former short track driver, which is the roots for his new driver, Josh Berry. So really interested to see how they work together. There's a lot of hope that kind of their common roots will pay dividends right away.
Was there a breakup in the offseason that surprised you?
not too much. I think the biggest break that surprised us in the offseason, but was announced way before, is the fact that Jimmy Johnson's Legacy Motor Club moved from Chevrolet to Toyota. And Jimmy Johnson won all his races in a Chevrolet, and now he'll be out there in these duels tonight in a Toyota trying to make the Daytona 500. So to see that organization with drivers Eric Jones, John Hunter Nemechek, and Johnson driving a part-time schedule in Toyotas is still a little bit different, still a little bit weird to see.
give us an idea on any subtle changes that have been made to the cars or rules that they have to follow this time that maybe they didn't have to follow a year ago.
Yeah, the Fords and Toyotas both have new noses. And you say, well, what's the big deal about, you know, a little change to the nose of the car? But in Daytona, being fast is being able to push the car in front of you, or if you're out front, to get a push from the car behind you. And it's important to get the best push. You need to have these noses and bumpers line up well. And the changes to the Fords look like maybe they don't line up as well in hopes of running better at other tracks, but maybe not to be as good at Daytona. So I think that's what everybody will be looking for tonight.
All right. I want to talk about the track itself. You know, every track has its own personality. What's always been the personality, in your opinion, of the Daytona International Raceway?
Fast and dangerous. That's Daytona. They run in packs because they have to slow the cars down because they drove on this 36-degree banking with the engines at full horsepower. They just fly right off of it. So they run in packs. When one car gets loose, you can have big wrecks. There's not a lot of time for drivers to react. And the best way to stay out front is to block the driver behind you and block the driver who's trying to make a move to the outside of you. And every time you make that move, you're making it by inches as far as trying to avoid or causing a wreck. So that to me, this is one of those races where you watch and it is exciting to watch, but there is a pit in your stomach the entire time that there could be a big crash at any moment.
In the days of Richard Petty, Cale Yarborough, David Pearson, you know, the Allisons and so forth, you ran 500 miles. Now they do the race in stages. They've done this for a few years now, and you've watched it for a few years. Do you like it, or would you rather see them just go 500 miles?
I personally, NASCAR awards points at the end of the stages, so it creates you know, drama throughout the race. It gives the drivers something to race for in the first third of a race, in the second third of a race, and it never appears that they're just logging laps because there's always something on the line. Some people don't like the fact that the caution comes out, but it's certainly at the end of the stage, but it certainly gives time for broadcast partners that air commercials that they know are going to be under yellow. And, you know, I like to be able to go get a snack or use the restroom. it provides that too.
What have the fans, though, told you? Because in the end, this is done for the fans. Do they like it?
I think some like it. Certainly you have traditionalists who feel that it is, you know, manufactured drama. But, again, I think it's not traditional. It's something that, you know, if you've been watching races for 20 years, it's, you know, almost blasphemous. But, you know, if you're a fan who likes this, you know, the frustrating part about a 500-mile race is sometimes that can be a 500-mile race, and it takes a while for you to feel like that there's something on the line. And this does provide that, you know, it provides that drama and that urgency earlier in a race than before.
Okay, so now this is, you know, NASCAR starts with the Super Bowl and then works its way through the season. Give me like three or four drivers you're really interested to see how their season long-term plays out.
Well, I think first you look at Chase Elliott, sports most popular driver, yep. Missed seven races last year, six because of a broken leg and one because of a suspension, didn't make the playoffs. Will this be the year that he rebounds and wins again? I think a lot of people think so, but all eyes, I feel, are on Chase Elliott. I think you look at Ross Chastain and his growth as a driver. Will he continue to have no friends and just push the issue and push the issue and push the issue, or will he pick and choose his battles maybe a little bit more? And then the other driver I'm looking at is Bubba Wallace. Strong top 10 in points last year, but it still kind of seeks them more consistency when it comes to running up front and winning.
Give me an under-the-radar driver, in your opinion, that maybe a lot of people don't know a lot about, but could start to make an impact this season.
That's a great question, and I would, you know, I think the driver that you would think maybe for that one would be Chase Briscoe. Okay. And Stuart Haas, he's the only driver now at Stuart Haas Racing with a cup win. He has one. That's their total among their four drivers now that Kevin Harvick has retired and Eric Almirola has gone to a part-time Xfinity schedule. He is kind of a leader at Stuart Haas Racing. They're a team that's coming off not a very good year. And Chase Briscoe has always been one that you felt like has had potential and maybe just needed those few years before he could really know exactly what he wants in this car. But he's got to show it this year, and I think a lot of people will be interested to see if some of his more of that potential actually results in finishes in the top 10.
Let me give you an interesting one, I think, and that's about Joe Gibbs and Joe Gibbs Racing. We all know the tremendous success he had in winning three Super Bowls with Washington. And then they transition into this. What has made him successful at this level in a sport where nobody would have assumed that 30 years ago when he was a head football coach?
Well, Joe Gibbs is successful because he's Joe Gibbs. And what I mean by that is, first off, he can get sponsors because not too many team owners can go to a meeting to close a deal with a sponsor and say, hey, do you want to hold up? You want to put on my Super Bowl ring and see what it feels like and looks like? You know, that can seal a deal. And, you know, what made him a great coach is the same thing that makes him a great owner, in the sense of he knows how to deal with people. He knows that he has incredible ability to understand the balance between letting his drivers be themselves and knowing when you've got to call the driver into the office and say, hey, you know, let's do it this way, or let's try it this way, or we really need to do this. And so he has that great relationship with his drivers and his crew that he knows when he needs to show his leadership and when to let them be them.
And I think Sheldon Creed's going to be one of his drivers this year, right?
Yep, I'm going to be one of those in the Xfinity Series.
Yep, sounds great. Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it. By the way, your pick to win is?
Denny Hamlin.
That's a solid one. Appreciate it, Bob.
I think he's
going to
win number four.
Yep, that's right. Thanks, Bob. Bob Pockrass joining us. Daytona 500 coming up. That time of the year. Super Bowl's over. Time to race. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.